As Andy pointed out, we've been working our way through the book of Galatians over these last few evenings, Sunday evenings. He started us back a few weeks ago with an introduction and pointed out there's sort of two main themes that run through all of Galatians. Firstly, Paul in his letter to the church in Galatia is explaining clearly what the gospel is, and that we can see that in the verses today, but it pops up in various other places as well. What the good news of Jesus is, what that means for them, what that means for us. Another part of it is Paul is setting out his authority as an apostle. Paul wrote so many books of the Bible, and so if his letters weren't significant, if what he said didn't have some weight and authority, that would probably be a bit of an issue for us. So part of it is Paul setting it out. But the main bit that goes through all of it is the fact that the gospel, the good news, and some people describe this particular part as the high point of that. These amazing words that we can see in this section we read. You could almost take an entire sermon on every verse through the first part. There's so many bits in there. Clothed in God, children of God, adopted into God's family. And we're going to look at some of those things today. But first I want to start with something that I noticed as I was flicking through. Paul makes it very clear that Jesus is involved in all of this. I don't think he could have put Jesus, Christ Jesus, in many more times in just four verses there. He's talking about that Jesus made all this possible for us to be children of God through our faith. We are baptized into Jesus. We are clothed with Jesus, and we'll talk about some of what that means. We're all one in Jesus. He goes through different divisions and says actually those don't exist. We're all one in Jesus. We belong to Christ, and we're Abraham's seed and the promise that comes with that. So I guess in the back of our minds we have this fact that Jesus makes all this possible. This is part of the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. I want to start by looking at one of those particular sections in there, one of those verses, where it talks about how we're clothed with Christ. Do we have any sports fans? I'm not looking for the country these people are supporting. I'm looking for the sport. Does anyone know? Can anyone tell? There's a bit of a clue if you can read the text there, depending on how good your eyes are. Cricket, good man, good man. Not just because it's my favourite sport, but anyway. There's the Cricket World Cup going on. England may or may not be still left in it, depending on how things went this evening. But what the point is when we talk about clothed with Christ, I think there's three ways we can think about it, and one of them is shown here. We can tell a bit about these people from just looking at what they're wearing. The big St George's cross on the front gives it away somewhat. There is a few people in there with the England cricket kit. We might see the same if we ever go to a football match. You can certainly tell which team someone's supporting, and generally the two sets of supporters don't get to mix because of problems. But we can see something about these people's identity, or at least what they put their support and their identity in. We can certainly tell anyone who's forked out for the kit of their team, that shows you that they've got enough money to spend £40 on something that's going to be obsolete in a year's time. It shows a bit about how much they support that team, what they care about. And I think that's part of what it means to be clothed in Christ. It's talking about how our primary identity should be in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about for you, but maybe for some of us we struggle with that. I certainly can think of lots of times in my life where my primary identity, the thing that I've been putting my time and effort into, the thing that excites me, or the thing that takes my time and energy, isn't Jesus. Maybe he's like third or fourth down the list. I know for times for me it's about my identity and my job and my role in my job. I don't have a high-flying job, but I have got a technical job, and I like that. I like being able to get stuck into that job. I like being someone who other people come to for advice in companies of how to do things. I like that. But sometimes I'm missing the point that my identity shouldn't be in those things. We're called as Christians to have our primary identity in Christ. And one of the ways we can think about that is that we clothe ourselves in Christ. Another way maybe to think about clothing ourselves in Christ is this. Has anyone had the joy or misfortune of ever wearing a wetsuit? Yeah, I can see knowing glances. Anyone would choose to wear a wetsuit when they really didn't have to? They're quite close, right? That's kind of the point of them. They're quite tight. They're quite tight fitting. They're not necessarily the most flattering of things. But they do what they're supposed to do, particularly in this country. Even the hot temperatures yesterday, I don't know how warm the sea in this country would have been even after one very hot day of sun. Someone tried it, yeah. So you need these wetsuits if you're going to go in the sea in this country, basically, any time of year. But the point is, with clothing, if we think about clothing ourselves in Christ, another way to think about it is actually our clothing is our possession that's closest to us the majority of the time, right? We generally have clothes on for long periods of time. We generally wear our clothes day in, day out. They offer us shelter, maybe not always as much shelter as a wetsuit, but we wear our clothes for shelter in some ways. But the point is this closeness of our relationship with God. That's another side of what is getting at with clothing ourselves in Christ. We have a close relationship with God. Our clothes are one of our closest possessions. They're something that are with us moment by moment. Our relationship with God shouldn't just be something that we do on a Sunday and forget about the rest of the time. We're called to be walking with God. We're called to be close to God throughout our lives, day in, day out. Sometimes it's talked about as we actually have to practice his presence. This isn't necessarily something that comes naturally. It's something that comes easy. Sometimes it takes time to get right. Sometimes we have to be more conscious of it. Sometimes we need to think about, actually, am I clothing myself with Christ? Do I have that close relationship with him throughout my day? Or is it just at certain times? So clothing can talk about our primary identity. It can talk about a closeness of relationship, something that we take with us everywhere. This is the third picture. Some of you will know what this picture is all about. I've deliberately blacked out the faces to preserve the... I didn't ask the people who are in the photos, basically, see if I could stitch them up. But anyway, sometimes people like to dress up. Sometimes people like to dress up in a particular style. If you weren't at the men's CVM weekend last week and you have no idea what this picture is about, but a few of us here went away on a church weekend for men, only for men, basically. They're very clear on that part of it. But part of that is that they have dressing up on the, they have a theme on the Saturday night. And if you can't tell from that, it was medieval. There's a monk and a couple of kings there, and they are some people from this church. I'm not going to say whether any of them are here tonight. You'll have to ask anyone who looks like they went to CVM last week. But the other part of clothing ourselves with Christ is actually saying that we dress up like Jesus probably has the wrong sort of connotation. If I think dressing up like Jesus, I'm basically thinking about wearing sandals and a cloak with a rope tied around me in the school play type thing. But it's this idea of actually we look to imitate Jesus in our behaviour. Sometimes we even talk about it as like pulling on the character of Jesus. We sometimes go as far as that in verses. We say, pull on something that represents Jesus. But it's the idea that actually when we're dressing up, we're looking to imitate something. And so if we're clothing ourselves in Christ, another way to think about it is actually that we're looking to imitate Jesus, looking to imitate how he acted, how he behaved with people, how he spent time with people, what he said, what he did. So there's three bits there that we can think about for clothing ourselves with Christ. And maybe you have other ideas as well. There can be more. But I want to give you a chance now to actually discuss this amongst yourselves. We've been doing this in the evening services of a chance to get people to have discussions. We can often learn a lot more from other Christians than if we just think about something ourselves. I'm very grateful for being part of a home group for many years, and I've really found that actually it's really good to listen to other people's ideas on things. So what I'm going to do is give you about 5 or so minutes now, maybe a bit longer. Get into groups of 2s or 3s. If you are really uncomfortable doing that, that's absolutely fine. We're not going to force you to do that, but maybe you could take the time to just contemplate this question yourself. But what the challenge is that if these descriptions of clothing ourselves in Christ are what we should be aiming for, are there areas of our lives where we're not, or where we struggle to do these things? Are there areas of lives where actually it's hard to put our primary identity in Christ? It's hard to have a close relationship with Christ or imitate Christ. So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes. Feel free, if you really want to get a coffee and things like that. We generally let that happen as well. But yeah, get yourselves into groups of 2s or 3s and have a go at discussing this question and sharing amongst yourselves, maybe personally or more generally if you want to do that. Which parts of our lives do we struggle to remember we're clothed in Christ? Okay. very good. Hopefully there's some good conversations there. And just to encourage people that this is something that isn't necessarily easy, and hopefully as part of that, discussing it with someone else, actually they can encourage you in that, that, you know, we could probably all go down this list and tick off all our faults very quickly, but sometimes it's good to actually speak to others, and if they know you well enough for them to say, well, actually, no, you do well in other areas as well, and that we can hopefully do this part of why as well that we meet together as a church is so we can encourage each other in this, and sometimes it is useful to be able to share where we're at and have someone else listen to that as well. And if you're thinking you'd like a bit longer to discuss things, well, there'll be another chance in just a few more minutes. But we're going to move on to another part of the verses and the primary, I guess, the primary theme of these verses. It's certainly the header of the section in the book is talking about us as children of God and how we've moved from slaves to God's children, how we might think about that analogy. When you think about the word adoption or being adopted, the process of being adopted and anything around that, fostering and those sorts of things that are similar, I don't know what comes to your mind. I guess if you personally have been adopted or in a family where people have been adopted or you've adopted people, you have a very personal experience with that word and it means something to you. I've not experienced it personally, but I have some friends who adopted their children a few years ago, and as I was thinking through this, it really sprung to my mind that situation, because I knew them well enough to know as they were going through the process a lot of the strains and tough times they went through. It's not an easy process to go through. It doesn't stop being an easy process once it's been legally signed off. Adoption is a lifelong process, something you take on. But it did make me think that adoption or fostering or those similar things are actually, to my mind, one of the most amazing sacrificial things that one person can do for another person. You're taking on a child who, by birth, isn't yours. You don't have that responsibility. You're choosing to take that child on and take them on into your family, make them part of your family, accept them as if they're your own child, and all the things that go with that. And I know that many people here in the church have adopted, fostered, taken on guardianship, provide respite care, or even just in more ad hoc ways, significantly had an input into the life, often of a child, but it can work for adults as well, taking on other people's families, taking on other people into their own family, providing a safe home, giving them care and attention, and often in the case of children who are adopted, care and attention they wouldn't have got or weren't getting beforehand. And so with that in mind, what we see here in these verses, what's being explained to us, the highlight of this section of Galatians, is that actually we're taken on into God's family in the same way. And actually it even talks about the fact that it's something that's already happened. It's not something we have to wait for. Galatians 3:26, first verse we read, Galatians 3:26 says, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith." If we've made that step of faith, if we've committed our lives to Jesus, however we want to think about it, we are children of God. Not you will be one day, maybe. We are children of God. And that's why this is the highlight of the gospel, the highlight of the good news. It sums it up quite nicely as well in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, talks about it like this. It's page 1126 in the Bibles if you have them. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And you see in there, there's a few added exclamation marks just to make the point. Great love the Father's lavished on us, we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Maybe sometimes the idea of being child brings back bad memories of our childhood. Some people have had tough childhoods. For some people, the idea of families is quite conflicted. But what we see with God is the idea of the perfect parent-child relationship, being accepted into the family of God. But actually, these verses go one step further. There's even a bit more going on. That it's going from God's children to being his heirs. We see that in Galatians 4:4-7, the last few verses that I read earlier on. Galatians 4:4-7, Paul goes through the process and explains it. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And then he sums up the whole thing again, really, in verse 7. So you know, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. What's significant about the idea of being an heir is that we share in the inheritance. And maybe if we only look at the first half of this verse in Galatians 4, verse 5, we'll see we miss out on some things. Galatians 4, verse 5, in one verse, explains two fairly fundamental things. The first half of Galatians 4, 5 says to redeem those under the law. So it's talking about how we're redeemed, and we sung about that earlier on in the worship. How our sins are forgiven, how the slate is wiped clean, however we want to think about it, what Jesus did on the cross for us. But then in the same verse it goes on to say that we might receive adoption to sonship. I heard it described like this. So not only is the slate being wiped clean, which we understand by Jesus dying on the cross for us, but we don't then have to start with that clean slate and start writing our good deeds onto it. It's like Jesus has written those on there already. We don't have to earn being God's children. We don't have to. God loves and accepts us already. That's already been done by this amazing gift of the inheritance that we get made possible by Jesus. The two halves of the verse. We're redeemed, but we're also received into the adoption of sonship. In the book Andy was alluding to that goes behind this series, he talks about it, actually, we only have a part grace if we only understand half of that. And the quote from that book I thought I'd share sums it up like this. Yes, it is very easy and common to think of our salvation only in terms of the first and not the second half of that verse. Only as the transfer from us of our sins being taken away, but not as the transfer to us of the Son's rights and privileges. When we think like that, we really only are half saved by grace. We can get pardoned, but now we have to live a good life to earn and maintain God's favour and reward. And maybe for us, we forget about the second part. We forget about the significance that God has accepted us, adopted us into his family, made us his child, made us his children through adoption. Maybe another way to think about it is we think about the fact that Jesus removed the curse we deserved. He died on the cross and removed that curse from us. He didn't deserve that. We did. But also that he gives us the blessing that he alone deserved. We don't deserve to be accepted into God's family. We haven't done anything to earn that. But he gave us that privilege, gave us that inheritance. One thing you might have noticed through these verses, it's very, at least in the translation of the Bible we have here, it's always talking about children of God accepted into his family. Except in one place where it uses the word sonship. If you are awake and looking down the bottom of your Bible, you'll see there's a little footnote to explain what's going on there. So Galatians 4, verse 5, talks about adoption into sonship. And that's there because it's a specific legal term that would have made sense to people at that time. What would have happened is that if you were a rich Roman and you had no children, you were able to adopt into sonship one of your slaves. And obviously in that society it was important that you had a son. It meant there were certain things that passed through to the son that wouldn't have gone to a daughter, or if you had no children that would have been lost. So it was important for them to have a son. It's not such a big thing in our society nowadays. Even our royal family have got rid of the fact that it's only the firstborn son that can be first in line to the throne. I think it was a few years back they changed the rules, so it's the oldest child, whether they're a son or daughter. So maybe it's a bit alien to us, this idea of the son getting everything as opposed to the daughter, I don't know. But that's what the point Paul's making here is actually, he's equating it to that situation where a slave who had no rights, was just a slave in the household of a rich Roman, suddenly became the son and got all the inheritance, got all the privileges of the son would have got in that society. Going from having no relationship with the father to being treated as his son, to being his only child. And so it's equating that to the situation with us and God. We're not his children by birth, but he's adopted us into sonship. He's given us that privilege and the full rights of being his children. And again, this is something that is talked about that has happened for us. But actually, maybe part of the problem is that actually we don't live like this is the reality. Maybe in our lives we live more like we're still slaves, not physical slaves in a boat handcuffed up, but slaves to the law. We don't live like we're children of God. We don't live like God's done this amazing thing of accepting us into our family. Maybe we don't feel worthy. Maybe we don't feel like we've earned it, whatever it might be. So again, in groups, if you'd like to, I want you to take a few minutes to discuss this question, similar to before. In what parts of your life are you most in danger of living as a slave? Where do we struggle in our lives to fully understand that we're living as a child of God, not and an heir, not as a slave? And it's a bit of a there's a few pointers there about the difference between maybe how we live as a slave versus an heir. Slave has no relationship, has no rights. A slave was, you know, in that society was not protected at all, whereas a child was adopted as part of the family and had the full protection of the family. We're talking about spiritual slaves still under the law in this analogy versus a child with privilege and inheritance. Slaves with no freedom, child or an heir has the freedom of salvation and the joy of salvation. So again, take about 5 minutes and discuss amongst yourselves in pairs. Is there parts of your lives where you struggle to realise, where you struggle to live like you're the son or the child of God and an heir as opposed to a slave? Okay. I'm reluctant to stop you chatting. You all seem to have such amazing conversations. There is a chance to carry on the conversations afterwards over coffee and some nice biscuits. But just to finish up this bit of the service, these verses, for me anyway, very much come under the... these are familiar things. If you've been in church for any length of time, we talk about being children of God in songs, and I've probably done Sunday school stories and all sorts of talking about being a child of God, but sometimes we can miss the implications of what that means, and also with maybe clothing God, you know, that sounds like a nice idea, but how do we explain it? What does that actually mean for our lives? So hopefully you've been challenged by these verses. I just want to finish by reading the first couple of verses again to remind ourselves. So this is Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Part of the challenge of these verses is it's not too tricky to understand, but it's quite hard to put into action. It's saying that actually, if we've taken a step of faith and been baptized, these things have happened. We just need to understand what they mean for our lives. We just need to get on with it almost in some ways. He's encouraging the Galatians at the time that, and we can read that for ourselves as well, that actually we are children of God and we have been clothed, or we are clothed with Christ if we've been baptized. So I guess the challenge to finish with is that, firstly, are we all living as if we're clothed with Christ? Does that mean something in our lives? And with all the implications that has, it's actually a radical way of living. It's not an easy thing to do if we think through all the different things it means. We're saying that Jesus is our primary identity in our life. He's the part of our life that means the most to us. It's where our focus is. It leads our life. Do we have a close relationship with him throughout the day, minute by minute? Are we walking with him? Is he part of our lives in whatever we're doing? Do we acknowledge him in whatever we're doing? And are we imitating his behaviour? Are we dressing up like Jesus, if you want to think about it like that? Are we putting on his actions and character? Are we being like him? Yes, this is something that we will never get to the end of. We can't be like Jesus. He is perfect. But the idea is that we progress through our lives of having that as an aim, to be closer to Jesus, to be more Christ-like as we work through our life. Secondly, the other focus of these verses is that are actually in our lives, are we living more like we're a slave, not realising the magnificent promise that we have there, that we're children of God? And in fact, more than that, he's gone a step further and made us his heirs, made us part of his inheritance, given us the privileges of sonship in that way. I pray that as we go from here, we can fully grasp these verses. Let them not just be something we understand in our heads, but that they move into our hearts and change our behaviour. That we'll begin to see them as the climax of the gospel, as Paul did. And that as a result, we'll grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus, becoming more Christ-like. Amen to that.